From Pacifica Radio, KPFT 90.1 Houston, this is Open Journal in Exile. Open Journal is the Houston community magazine of the airwaves. Join us as Duane Bradley and Stephanie Coleman explore the wonder that is the Petro Metro and the people who make it happen. And now, from our temporary, socially distanced, alternative studios in Exile, somewhere in the greater Houston area, this is Open Journal in Exile. Let the conversation begin.
Yes, yes, yes. Welcome aboard. You are tuned in to Open Journal on KPFT Pacifica Radio, 90.1 FM, Houston's community station, broadcasting on FM and digital HD channel one as well. It's Monday, the 12th of April, 2021. Thank you for joining us. Thanks for the gift of your time, and thanks for supporting this community radio resource. I'm Duane Bradley.
And I'm David Baker, also known as Maverick, every Wednesday afternoon from noon until 2 o'clock. I'm in for Stephanie Coleman tonight, who is on assignment. She should be back next week. In the first half of the hour, we'll be visiting with Carla Clay, founder and executive director of Artist Boat. And in the second half of the hour, we'll be joined by Ruth and Muhammad Nasrullah of the COVID-19 Wall of Memories Project. We always welcome your feedback, opinions, and suggestions via Twitter, Facebook, hashtag KPFTOJ. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast, KPFTOJ.
And we'll be joining Carla in just a moment, but usually I'm asking Stephanie what's happening down at the Houston Health Department. So, Maverick, as the youngest member of the KPFT Open Journal team, what's been your experience? Are you better together? Are you masking up? Are you staying socially distanced? Are you washing your hands enough? Have you been tested? Have you gotten the vaccine? Are you taking your best shot?
I definitely am doing my part. Whenever I'm out, I am still wearing a mask and washing my hands. I'm still making sure to do the right things, and I am halfway vaccinated. I get my second dose this Thursday.
Well done. I am now so far beyond the 2 weeks beyond the second one that I can't even tell you exactly how many weeks, at least six or seven for me. I'm trying to fight off those feelings of invulnerability because I don't want to become complacent this close to the theoretical finish line. Do not want to stop and forget. So I too am masking up when I'm outdoors, remaining as distant as possible under the circumstances. Haven't been to any big public gatherings yet, like watching these ball games that are happening here in town. And hey, the Astros, by the way, looking great. Oh, and speaking of games, kudos to my Baylor Bears basketball champions. Last Monday, right after the show ended, they took it to Gonzaga. Nice Jesuit school up there in Eastern Washington, but those Bears from Waco, they put the wood to them, and they are the national basketball champions. So kudos to Baylor.
Way to go, Baylor.
Fans. Sorry to all of you Cougar fans from the U of H. I know Baylor took you out. My brother's a Cougar. I've got friends who went there and all that, and I can resonate with it. I know that we got ripped off, that Hakeem Olajuwon and Clyde Drexler should have won a national championship 37 years ago and all that. But, you know, that's water under the bridge. Best to U of H in the next year. You know, they've got a good team. They'll be back. So too will Baylor, though. So watch out on that. You know, another thing I need to mention this, Maverick, is we have to mourn the passing of one of our colleagues here at KPFT. And I'm not sure how many of you are familiar with Cliff Smith. I encountered him back in 1980 when I first became a regular at KPFT, and he was a programmer who turned me on to some amazing music through a show he used to do every week on Thursday mornings called The Acoustic Ear. I discovered worlds of music I was unfamiliar with thanks to Cliff. He more recently has been the programmer of record for a talk show on Sunday evenings that he would do called Community Dialogue, and a late night music show that he would continue producing called Songlines. Sadly, the other day, Cliff passed. So we mourn his passing, and we'll celebrate his life, and we'll tell you when that celebration will be held and where as it develops. But we're going to celebrate his life today by picking a song for the song of the week that was something that he was involved in. And I'll tell that story at the break when we bring you that song of the week during the course of the show.
Yeah. And we're always, you know, very grateful and thankful for all the great volunteers and programmers here at KPFT for, you know, giving their art and sharing with the community something that's valuable. And that is what KPFT is.
Mm-hmm. I'll share just a brief little vignette of Cliff. I was kind of scared of this guy. And I encountered him on a St. Patrick's Day morning. And I was coming in to do a show, and I felt somewhat intimidated because I was just out of college and kind of new, and he seemed intimidating because he kind of was. And he turned me on to a piece of music I had to go find. I needed to get it shipped from Ireland, and it was called the Makeham and Clancy Concert, a double album recorded live in Dublin. And Tommy Makeham and Liam Clancy. And there's this one particular story song called Peter Kagan and the Wind. And it's a story about what they called the Silkies, these seals who could transform into a woman on land. But if they ever went back into the sea, they would return to being a seal and could not come back. And the story of Peter Kagan, who was a fisherman, married to one of the Silkies, and how he was nearly lost at sea, and she knew that and rescued him, but she had to go back to her original form. Anyway, it's a beautiful story. It's sad and beautiful. And so too was Cliff passing at what's always too soon. Thank you for tuning in. This is Open Journal on Pacifica KPFT. Couple of brief calendar items. One I'd want to mention is that the Houston Arboretum this coming Saturday on the 17th at 10 a.m., a little early, but they're calling it their Earth Day event. And Saturday and Sunday at the Houston Arboretum, they'll be doing programs. But starting at 10 a.m., a special Earth Day celebration at the Houston Arboretum. And you can look them up for more details on that information through the whole weekend. Of course, we'll be celebrating Earth Day officially on the day that we're supposed to, which is more than a week away, but we should celebrate the Earth every day, and we do here on Open Journal. So thank you for that. Another item to quickly throw across your bow is if you haven't been to the MFAH, the Museum of Fine Arts here in Houston, the Hockney Van Gogh exhibition continues through the mid to late point of June. If you haven't been there to see the new building, the Kinder building, it's an eye-opener. It's beautiful, and there's so much work that's on display there now. And the hot tip, as always, we'd like to tell you about free things. Thursdays, it's free. So, you know, there you
have
it. Can't
beat that.
Yeah, you can't beat free, and we love that here on Open Journal. Free speech radio, but you know, it's not totally free because if somebody didn't put a dime in the tower to power it, we wouldn't be able to have Open Journal. So thanks to those of you who have supported us over the many years at kpft.org. Again, Open Journal on Pacifica, KPFT 90.1 FM and digital channel HD1. This is Houston's community station. We thank you for your support and for joining us. I'm Dwayne Bradley.
And I'm Maverick. Based in Galveston, Artist Boat was founded in 2003 as a nonprofit to promote awareness and preservation of the coastal margins and the marine environment through land conservation and fun, educational, inspiring adventures. Founder and executive director Carla Clay has over 25 years' experience in arts and environmental education. Carla Clay, welcome to Open Journal.
Thank you. How are you today?
We're great, Carla.
We're great.
Thanks. We welcome you back. And thanks to the power of digital technology, you didn't have to drive all the way up from Galveston to be with us on Open Journal as you have in the past. So that's one of the plus sides to this pandemic Zoom world we're living in now for over a year. So for folks who might be unaware, and I know that a couple of people might be, what exactly is an artist boat? And can you give us some of the backstory and some of that vast history of this amazing organization you've founded?
What is an artist boat? Well, I could say this is not part of our history, but Monet had a studio boat. And my favorite painting is his portrait of his studio boat. And someday we might have that floating around on the bay for artists to enjoy. But for now, we have three fleets of kayaks that float, 26 participants, and we go out into the bay and explore, and they learn about the estuary, and then they learn how to make a watercolor, a plein air painting, landscape painting, horizontal format, just like every artist has been doing forever when they paint a landscape. And if they're in middle school, we go into their classrooms and do an eco-art workshop beforehand, and they learn about the watershed, they learn about where does pollution come from? How do you stop pollution? What are actions you can do to improve the environment of the bay? How do we use the bay? How does it benefit you? And then they learn how to make a portrait of a native species. So that program is the heartbeat of Artist Boat, because we want people to be, and especially kids, explorers, scientists, and artists for a day. And they learn a lot in one day. They learn how to paddle. They learn how to make a second watercolor. They learn how to paddle with a partner. They learn what a great blue heron looks like, hopefully. So it's a really exciting day into the salt marshes of our bay. And it is stunningly beautiful. So we're so happy to share that core value or premier destination of aesthetic beauty with them. And they learn a lot about science and nature too. So it's very powerful. Mm-hmm. But we have many other programs that people can participate in. And we have a lot of programs for school. So this year coming up, we have two different professional developments for teachers. And the focus is how to integrate the concepts and science behind climate science into your curriculum. And one is focused on science teachers only, and the other one is focused on teachers from any curriculum. And they'll have great exposure to artists, scientists, and people who work in the space of climate science and climate interpretation, how to teach people what is climate science. And then we are getting ready to announce our Beautify the Bucket competition. So people adopt these blue trash barrels, and they paint them with images of the ocean or anti-marine debris messages or scoop your poop messages. They're really wonderful. We've had just all of them are beautiful and original. And hopefully the tourists coming to Galveston notice that our trash barrels aren't normal and put their trash in them. So those are just three of the programs. But and then our biggest effort to date is what I hope we're going to talk about.
Oh, we'll be getting to a special program called Be One in a Million for certain during the course of this conversation.
You know, it was very interesting going back to when you were talking about everything you're doing for the kids, teaching about the marine environment. It's interesting to think how they are the future. And I really like how you guys are doing that, how you're going out on the water and you're having a great day. And not only are these kids having fun, but they're learning something that they might take away to then say, that's something that I want to look into later on to experience it.
We do. We really want to teach youth, but I want to bring one topic to the table that might be considered my own soapbox, but I was raised by a shark biologist who devoted his life to bringing sharks into the public arena, how to ship them, keep them alive, build the aquarium so they don't die. My father had great hopes that the more we knew about sharks, the more we would save them. And I grew up with all of his friends saying, you're going to save the world. your generation is going to save the world. And we don't say that to our children. We don't say that to anybody under 18. They're there to learn and enjoy and change their own behaviors and do the right thing. But the right thing belongs to us, the adults in the room. We have to make the changes now. We are the ones large and in charge, bosses on the floor, and we have to get after this business of taking care of the planet. We can't wait for children anymore. In 2050, Galveston could be underwater. The Boot of Louisiana loses a football size every day, and no kid can change any of that. Only adults can change the way we treat this planet with laws, regulations, and all the stuff that we're not supposed to talk about anymore. Let's just all make a good decision. And you can't wait for a billion people on the planet to just make a good decision anymore. The adults have to do it.
I like that perspective, Carla. You know, it's great to see Greta Thunberg and the youth of today coming and speaking truth to power, but they don't actually have their hands on the levers of power quite yet. And those of us of a certain age can't pawn this off any longer and say, well, yeah, my kid's going to take care of that. These are some really sharp kids, you know, they're going to handle it. When, like you say, we're the ones who are large and in charge at this moment. So that's a great perspective. I support you in and endorse that as well. So it's not all on you, Maverick, to fix everything.
Well, I mean, it's a process, right? It goes hand in hand.
Yeah, I mean, we have to educate youth, but I don't advocate. Let's tell the kids they're going to save the world. It's my job. It's people who can vote's job. People running petrochemical industries. People running car companies. Mm-hmm. We teach more kids than adults, for sure. But that's because they're more fun to be with.
So Carla Clay of Artist Boat Fame, could you describe for us a typical, if there is a typical adventure of getting together with perhaps a group of people you may or may not know well and hopping into kayaks on the shallow side of Galveston,
sure,
in the bay and heading out into the reeds?
So usually we meet people or a school group. If they're going to paddle as a school group, they have to be in sixth grade and up. If they come on the weekend, they can be with a parent. But we meet them more frequently now at the Coastal Heritage Preserve because we have our own beautiful kayak pavilion. We don't have to drive trucks and trailers, and we meet you there. You walk to the kayak pavilion through the coastal prairie. Then we pride ourselves on teaching people how to work together on the water because that's a huge skill on the water. And they learn the strokes and maneuvers to paddle a tandem kayak, but they learn some important things about paddling in that short demonstration, like the person in the front sets the pace. This person in the back does steer, but that doesn't mean they're the boss. They go at the speed of the person in the front. And, you know, we teach them strokes and maneuvers, how to get in the boat safely, how to not waste energy, right? Most people think the harder you paddle, the faster you go, the farther you go. Well, once your paddle passes your hip, you're just lifting 8 pounds of water for every gallon of water your paddle goes through. So you want to be sure that paddle's behind you, there's a reason. And that's usually to steer while the person in the front keeps the momentum. So they learn how to paddle. They're with a biologist artist and they go out onto the water. We stay and hug the marshes because that's where the most wildlife is. We talk about what are the functions or ecosystem services of the marsh. What are the things the marshes do for us, which is tremendous. And then they stop and have a snack and eat their lunch. And then they learn how to make a watercolor and they sit where they like in the kayak. You know, they're not paddling. And usually that's when more wildlife shows up because people get so quiet when they start reflecting on what colors are there or how to make decisions about what they see. And we're told frequently that it's a very powerful, relaxing experience. I've actually had grown adults cry and say it's the first time anybody taught them how to make art since they were in kindergarten. So these are powerful experiences, and we have to brag a little. An astronaut came 2 weeks ago on a kayak adventure on the weekend with his family. We did not know he was an astronaut until he left and gave Carissa his card, our education coordinator, and said how much he enjoyed it. So we asked him, and he wrote a really nice thing about his experience and how powerful it was just to be here in the Bay. It was as powerful as being on the moon to be close to nature where you live. Mm. So, of course, you would expect an astronaut to love exploring.
Absolutely. So.
And it's one of those things where you're actually there, you know, you're actually in the moment. We're not distracted by everything else, all the other stresses in our lives. And we're actually on the water and seeing nature at its finest.
Yeah, it's a great experience. I tell everyone, if you haven't been on a kayak in the Bay, you don't know this place. The Houston-Galveston region is the size of Holland. And half of our space is the Bay.
What else can we say? I feel remiss that in all these years I've known about Artist Boat, and I've never gone on a kayak trip. I've talked about doing it. I've talked with Jim Blackburn, who's done it for years and years on his own and done some amazing poems that he's created out there, an entire book of bird poems from out there in the salt marshes that he's, you know, the roseate spoonbill. What are some of the other species? I mentioned the one, the spoonbill.
Oh, we usually see, well, it just depends, but...
You said great blue heron.
Well, we always... As soon as I say always, though, somebody will go
Jinx
and not
it,
see
right.
a great blue heron. But we see great blue herons, we see brown pelicans, we see great egrets, snowy egrets. I hate to list birds, but easily you might see 20 species of birds, but they're just so beautiful. It doesn't matter if anybody can name them or not. But the roseate spoonbill is bright pink. And right now, if you come, the pink is profound, but their bill turns a little blue-green, and their tail turns bright orange because they're in breeding plumage. Right now, the great egrets have chartreuse green skin against their bill, and then their feathers are very wispy and light, like a wedding dress. The snowy egret, which usually has yellow feet, has bright orange feet right now. And then, you know, we have willets, and they are always making a ruckus. Willet, 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 you know. And then we have the eastern meadowlark that you can hear from your kayak has the most beautiful song. And so, you know, it's not just floating, like every sense is engaged. It smells different. It sounds different. You feel the wind on your face. So it's just very powerful. And the preserve is powerful. I mean, just on my drive to work every morning, I see all kinds of wildlife, just driving to our headquarters out there. And our preserve is not unique. There's many beautiful places to explore around Galveston Bay. But on Galveston Island, it's a bit unique because we have a narrow habitat, a narrow island. And so you have many habitats sequentially in a narrow band of space. So that's why the biodiversity gets so high, because you go from the ocean to dunes to freshwater marshes to prairies to high marsh to low marsh. You might go back to a freshwater marsh, you know, and five other types of habitats before you get to the Bay.
You know, and everything you're saying, it sounds like it's always changing every day, the atmosphere, and you're going to go on one adventure, and then the next one, you might see something completely different.
And, that's so true.
And I want to know from you, personally, what time of the year is your favorite?
I have to say that my favorite place and favorite time of the year is always where I am outside and get to enjoy a day. So right now I'm very much looking forward to migration, Artist Boat. We have a bird observatory that's open to the public on the corner of City Gas and Stewart Road. And 3 years in a row, we have these little pie-billed grebes had babies. And so a pie-billed grebe is a little tiny brown duck, but they're not really a duck. They have very big feet. They can't walk on land. But they're like the size of a little Nerf ball. And when they have babies, they ride around on their backs. So when the babies are born, they're the size of a golf ball. The parents all brown, but the babies are tiger striped with bright red bills, the size of golf balls. And they're just bothering their mother all the time, yelling at her and nudging her. And then she lifts her wings up and they crawl in and they just all get quiet. And so right now I'm waiting for that day to happen when she has the chicks so I can go watch them every day grow. And that's right there. I'm not the only one who can do it. So we're so excited that we have that bird observatory, and hopefully other people will see that.
Well, Carla, I have a little bird observatory in my backyard here in the Heights in Houston, and I see just today cardinals, blue jays, redheaded woodpeckers, and it's always a joy just to kind of be out in nature, even in a tiny little backyard as you're kind of doing therapeutic gardening or whatever. You're doing things on a slightly bigger scale. Over the years that you've been the artist boat, you have been preserving some of the barrier island between the bay and the sea down there on the west beach of Galveston. This coastal heritage preserve that you have over the years amassed 700 acres, you have this amazing project to basically double that that's going on right now called Be One in a Million. Could you expound on that for everyone, please?
Sure. So we are asking 1 million people to donate $10 to protect the Galveston Island ecosystem. By being one in a million, people can help us save this amazing land. And on the island, we're trying to raise $10 million in 2 years to finish protecting 1,400 acres of wetlands and coastal prairie right here in Houston's backyard. And we hope to save the land from bay to beach, because there's not very many places on the island that are open from bay to beach anymore. And this is the pretty much one of the last two places. The other place is San Luis Pass, which is completely public, and it's kind of crazy out there. But we have gotten halfway to our goal. It's taken 10 years to save 700 acres and 10 transactions. And I'm working on 4 transactions now simultaneously. And the grants we have now all require $356,000 in match. That will save like 200 acres. So then we'll be at 900. And then there's a critical piece of 141 acres right next to where we kayak with kids, and the developers would like to put up 50 houses. And these wouldn't be normal houses. And right now, that place you can see from our property all the way to the causeway onto the island. Mm-hmm. You can see across to Alvin and in Texas City, the view is stupendous. And it's 2.5 miles of open shoreline that's not bulkheaded. So it's critical to save that place, to save our preserve from being fragmented and connected. So, that would be a target. And then we have some sections where we own land on one side of one road, but not across to the other road. And so if those parcels get developed, they fragment the land. And so we have river otters, we have coyotes, we have black rails, we have species that can't exist very many places now because the island is getting overdeveloped. And I don't need to say that as an opinion. It's a fact. Mm-hmm. It's a barrier island. And what is unique is that 45 minutes from Houston, you can still come and see the island as it was when the Karankawa Indians were here on those parcels of land we're trying to save. So we have saved 700 acres with $10 million in grants and a $1.5 million in kind of land donations. And it's been long and arduous, and the economy is rolling and houses are going up left and right. And we have meant from one developer that they'll give us 2 years. The other one, it's a race against time. Maybe there's other parcels that we can add, but land is going away on Galveston Island. And when it goes away on Galveston Island, it impacts Houston, because we're the line of first flood defense. We're the place y'all want to come when you get your feet wet and want to have a day off. And you'll quit coming when there's no more open skies, because people want to see beauty.
Sure do. And how can people find out more, not only about the Be One in a Million project, the campaign, but everything Artist Boat related? Is it just artistboat.org?
That's correct, www.artistboat.org. If you want to come on a kayak adventure, there's a button on the homepage that says book your adventure now. And you can scroll down and see the calendar. There's a button for Be One in a Million. There's a drop down for youth programs, summer camps. And if you can't find what you're looking for, call our office. We love to talk on the phone at 409-632-0388. And if you're not interested in interacting, please come to the Bird Observatory and just have a seat all by yourself. It's fabulous.
I'm definitely going to check it out.
All right. Well, Carla Clay, we want to thank you so much for joining us on this special Open Journal in Exile edition.
In Exile. I love it. Well, I appreciate Open Journal and so much your station. I've enjoyed driving there many, many times.
Nice to have been able to visit through this means of technology. And we'll see you on the shoreline, hopefully in the not too distant future. Well, dear friends, it is about time to wrap this edition of Open Journal. I'm Dwayne Bradley. You can support KPFT by going to our website, kpft.org, and perhaps making a tax-deductible contribution to the cause of conscious communication. Scroll down and make sure to put Open Journal in the memo on that. It would be a wonderful thing if you did so. And thanks to those of you who already have. Again, I'm Dwayne Bradley.
And I'm Maverick, sitting in for Stephanie Coleman, who should be returning from assignment next week. Our program archive is available through kpft.org. Please subscribe to the podcast, KPFT OJ. We are an all-volunteer production staff, including Rambling Rick Campbell and Susan Phillips. Open Journal theme music is provided by Kevin McLeod. Join us on Open Journal next time for more great conversations. Thanks always for your support.
Hey, and thank you, Maverick, for stepping in for Stephanie.
Always.
She's been on assignment here for a couple of editions of the OJ. And as always, dear friends, we'd like to leave you with a thought for the week. This comes to us from Jackie Robinson, who said, "A life is not important except in the impact it has on others' lives." Take care of each other. Peace.